It's good to be back here again after a long MC for knee surgery. During this long time of being on MC, the Lord has been speaking to me a lot about things that matter and things that don't matter. And so I think that it's so fitting that our topic for today is taking what we want. Taking what we want. Because I realize that the things that I want and long to take, and not just me, but I believe many of us, these things are what are pleasing to us here and now. But honestly, these are not the things that will last forever. These are not the things that will count for eternity. What are the things which have lasting value? Well, we're all familiar with Moses and the Ten Commandments. When the Lord brought Moses to Mount Sinai, he gave him the Ten Commandments. And today we're actually looking at Commandments 7 and 8. Commandment 7 says, do not commit adultery. Commandment 8, do not steal. You know, do not steal is a general commandment. I call it general because there are many forms of stealing. But one specific form of stealing is actually adultery. Because in adultery, we steal someone else's spouse. So, let us look at these two commandments today in terms of two common words, don't and do. The things we shouldn't do, the things we should do. We shouldn't steal. Christians know that. Non-Christians also know this. It's universal. We should not steal. Many types of stealing. Perhaps if you think of the Singapore case, the most famous policeman we have in Singapore, you know him? Is this famous cardboard policeman. You'll see him in many shopping centers, and his message is clear, that stealing is a crime. Shoplifting is a crime. I call this old-fashioned stealing. You know, old-fashioned is when you go into a shop and you take something without paying, or you go into a home and you steal something without the person knowing. I call it old-fashioned stealing. But there's a new fashion stealing where you don't take something physical, but instead you steal something intangible, something like a person's identity or a person's data. Recently, I received a message from this man. His picture's on the screen, Kevin Quenk. He's a cathedral staff. He sent me this message. How are you? It's a simple message. You know, when I received this message, I was so happy. I thought, wow, this Kevin, he's such a dear man, such a dear friend. He's asking me, how are you? And it comes at a time after my knee surgery. So I was so delighted that he was interested in my welfare. So I replied a nice long message, giving him, everything about my medical condition because he wanted to know. To my great horror, his next message showed that he really didn't care how I was at all. He didn't care. And I was so stunned. And I was thinking, first of all, you ask me, how are you? And then when I tell you, you don't care. What's going on? How can this be? And then his next message, he showed me that he wasn't interested in how I was, but he just wanted to talk to me about a new scheme to make money. And he told me that he had made $100,000 already. And that's when I knew alarm bells went off. And I said, wow, this is not Kevin. Kevin does not talk like this. So I phoned him and I said, Kevin, did you just send me a message? It's an app. It's a phone app. It's called Messenger. I said, did you just send me this message asking me about money? And he said, no, I never sent you a message. He said, you know, June, if I want money, I'll just ask you direct. I won't go on this roundabout thing about talking about making money. So I knew then it wasn't Kevin, but it was a scam. And someone had stolen his identity, stolen his data, in the hope of cheating me out of money, in the hope of stealing money from me. Well, whether it's old-fashioned stealing or new-fashioned stealing, the Bible takes a very serious view of stealing. And the Old Testament principle is that if you steal, you must return the full amount, 100%, plus you must return another 20% on top of it, one-fifth. And that's in Leviticus 6:1-5. And so that's a heavy amount. If you steal $100 from someone, you have to return $100 plus $25 more. That's the Old Testament standard. The New Testament standard, or the New Testament punishment for stealing, is even harsher. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says that thieves cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so if you think of this, Old Testament talks about punishment in terms of what happens to you on earth. But the New Testament is a much higher level of punishment. It talks about eternal consequences. Thieves cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And if you think of it, is stealing really so serious that it has eternal consequences? I say it is serious because when we steal, we're breaking the second greatest commandment, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't it so? If you steal from someone, it means you're not loving that person the way you should. Do we steal? If I were to ask you a show of hands, do you steal? I think we'll all say, no, we do not steal. But what if? What if God says, yes, we do steal? And let's read Malachi 3, verse 8. God says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. This is very serious. God says, you are robbing me. You are stealing in your tithes and contributions. Do we tithe? Some Christians say, yes, I give to God. Yes, I give to the church. I give 5% of my income. Do you know that that's stealing? Because by very definition, the word tithe means 10%. It's impossible for you to tithe 9%, 8%, 7%. All that is stealing. Because by definition, tithe means 10%. So if we give to the church, we give to God, but we don't give the full 10% of our income, we are stealing from God. And that's very serious. Are we guilty? This is one type of stealing, financial. There's another type of stealing, and it's adultery. Commandment 7 says it very clearly, do not commit adultery. Singapore, is there adultery in Singapore? Surely not, right? Singapore is not like a loose Western country. Singapore has good Eastern values. We're righteous people. We got clean homes. Isn't that so? Shocking. The Straits Times on 20th of April this year reported that counselors in Singapore are seeing that there are more people engaged in extramarital affairs. You know this term, extramarital affair? It's a nice way of saying adultery. More people in Singapore are committing adultery. And according to this report, Singaporeans are committing adultery with, guess who? Their colleagues, people at work. One reason could be the long working hours where you keep seeing someone for so many hours, morning into night, something happens. Of course, in the eyes of the world, you could say adultery makes sense. You know why it makes sense? Because you're always fighting with your spouse. You cannot get along with your spouse. But when you're in the company of someone else, you're so good together. It's like everything is beautiful when you're with someone else, not with your spouse. So the world says, commit adultery. It's fine. But what does God say? Proverbs 6:32 says, he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Adultery is great destructive power. It destroys your family. It destroys yourself. Why is this so serious? And perhaps I should ask you this question. I don't expect anyone to raise your hands, but are we guilty of adultery? I ask this question at 7 a.m. Are we guilty of adultery? Oh, people just openly shook their heads. No, we're not. What if Jesus says we are guilty? In Matthew 5:28, Jesus said, "Everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Wow. Jesus said, even if there is no physical act, no physical union, if you entertain the thought, if you're thinking lustfully about a married person, then you are already guilty of adultery. Very serious. Your thought life, your private thought life, you can be guilty of serious spiritual sins, even in your private thought life. The penalty for adultery, extremely serious. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 20, verse 10, it's a death penalty. Anyone caught in adultery is liable to the death penalty. Extremely serious. You would say more serious than stealing. You don't pay back, but you pay with your very life. Death penalty. The New Testament penalty for adultery, similar, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10, eternal separation from God in the same way cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So adultery, is it worth it? On this side of eternity, we pay with our lives, death penalty. And in eternal consequences, we pay by being separated from heaven, separated from God forever. We say, why is adultery so serious? After all, it is so common all over the world, even in Singapore. Singapore, where we consider ourselves so, a clean and a green society. Even here, adultery is on the rise. Why is adultery so serious? It is because marriage is from God. And so when God brings a man and a woman together, it is not for someone else to break up the marriage. In the good old-fashioned King James, Mark 10:9, it says this, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." What God has brought together, husband and wife, let not other people bring them apart. And so, do not steal, do not commit adultery. These things we know, we are not to do. Don't do these things. But then, what should we do? What should we do? Instead of being people who take, being people who steal, let us instead be people who give. You know, giving can be something very simple. Giving can be something as simple as giving encouragement, giving care and concern. Recently, because of my knee injuries, I've been going around a lot in a wheelchair. Now, I think you know there are two kinds of wheelchairs. One is a self-propelling wheelchair in the sense that you don't need someone to push you, but you can actually push yourself. It's like a racing wheelchair. But most people don't use racing wheelchairs. We use normal wheelchair. And in a normal wheelchair, you are dependent on someone else to push you. So there was one day I went to a shopping mall with my sister. She pushed me in a wheelchair. But then she needed to go somewhere. So she left me in the wheelchair in a corridor, and she went off on her own. Just a few minutes. I knew that she would be back soon. During those few minutes, when I was sitting alone in the wheelchair in the corridor, my thoughts began to focus on my uncle. There's a picture of him. My uncle and his wife at one of our Chinese New Year gatherings. He was a longtime cathedral member. He passed away at the age of 94, just a few days before that incident when I was sitting alone in a wheelchair in a shopping mall. His death was so fresh, and so I was thinking about him. I was feeling so very sad when I thought about him because, you know, very, very few people went to the funeral parlor when he died. I think when we lived to the age of 94, perhaps most of our friends would have died. And so, no, his friends did not visit him. You say family? Didn't the family visit? We have a big family. Yes, my uncle had many siblings, but his siblings also senior citizens with mobility problems. So they couldn't visit the funeral parlor unless someone drove them there. I myself had mobility issues. I was in a wheelchair and I couldn't go. I heard that one day my nephew went to the funeral parlor and he found it empty, absolutely empty. Nobody there, just my uncle in his coffin. And when I heard that, I was so sad. 94 years old, passed on to glory, but his corpse on earth with no one beside him. I thought about that and I was just so sad. I didn't know when I was sitting in the wheelchair in the corridor, I didn't know that there's actually a stranger staring at me until I noticed that there's a stranger staring at me. And this stranger was an elderly woman, Malay lady, and she stared at me. And then she smiled. So I was taken aback. Why is this stranger staring at me? But because she smiled, I smiled back. And then she came nearer to me and she began to do this. She tapped my shoulder. And I think it was her way of saying something to me. You see, she couldn't have known I was thinking about my uncle. And all she could see was that I was sitting in a wheelchair. I was sitting all alone, no one to help me. And I looked so terrible, I looked as though my whole world had crashed. And so she came and she taps me on the shoulder. And it was her way of saying, it's okay. You will be okay. You will walk again. And you know, I was so touched when she did this to me, because a total stranger, why would she care? Why would she even care that I'm looking so miserable? So I was so touched that I began to cry when she did that for me. As I was reflecting, I think this is how I want to be. Not a person who takes from others, not a person who steals from others, but a person who gives encouragement, gives even concern, even a little thing like a smile, like a tap on the shoulder. Even that can mean so much. And so, can we do this? Be people who would give. As we consider these commandments, let's look at them again. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. I wonder what thoughts are going through you right now. Are you guilty? I think if we are honest, we will say, yes, we are guilty. Because what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, it's not the physical act. He doesn't even consider that. But he considers the thoughts of our hearts. And that's why the psalm says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God. This is such a high standard. How many of us can pass? And so if we are honest, I believe we will say, yes, we are guilty of breaking these commandments. But you know, I want to say, this is not a message of condemnation, but it is a message of hope. A message of hope. And why do I say that? In John chapter 8, there's the famous story of the woman caught in adultery. The teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they caught a woman in the act of adultery. No question about it. Was she guilty? Was she not guilty? So many witnesses. She definitely guilty. And they caught her and they brought her to Jesus, Rabbi Jesus. And they knew, they all knew the penalty for adultery. The Torah says it. The law says it very clearly. They all knew. And by now, I believe you all also know the penalty for adultery is death. It's a death penalty. They brought her to Jesus to see what Rabbi Jesus would do. Would Jesus stone her? Because that's in Torah, that's in the law. Jesus did not, but instead, the Bible says, he bent down and he wrote on the ground. There have been many speculations. What was Jesus writing on the ground? We don't know, but I can guess, and I will tell you later what my guess is. The point is, they kept on pressing him. What is he going to do with this woman who is guilty and deserving of death? Jesus said, "Let those amongst you, you who have no sin, you take the first stone and you throw at her." Can you imagine the scene? Supposing you are that woman caught in adultery, and standing here, all the religious leaders of St. Andrew's Cathedral, they're wearing long robes. Everyone looks very holy. Everyone looks very righteous. Everyone looks very intimidating, and they're staring at you, and you know you are guilty, and you know you are deserving of death. And they're staring at you. And then you think, oh, that man there, he looks so holy, he looks so righteous. Surely he'll be the first to take a stone and throw at me. And then you wait, and to your great surprise, he walks away, because he realized in his heart, he's also a sinner. He cannot take a stone and throw at you. Then you say, wow, not that man. Then you look, oh, maybe that man. He looks like everyone respects him. He looks so righteous. He looks like there's no sin in him. Surely he'll be the one to take a stone and throw at me. Then you wait. To your surprise, he also walks away. And soon everyone walks away. Why is that so? I come back to the question, what did Jesus write on the ground? As I said, nobody knows, but I can guess. And my guess is this: Jesus wrote the Ten Commandments. You know, he didn't even have to write all ten. He just had to begin to write. Because if the leaders, religious leaders of Israel saw, they would have seen the very first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And they would have realized, I'm a sinner. I cannot keep even the first commandment, not even the first one. And so, the Bible says, all of them, from the oldest to the youngest, they all walked away. The woman was left with just one person. That person was Rabbi Jesus himself, the only one who could have stoned her because Jesus was totally sinless. But what did Jesus say? John 8, verse 11 says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Wow, praise God. You know, I said to you, this is not a message of condemnation. I asked you, are you guilty? I said, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. Because in this, Jesus shows us that grace is greater than judgment. Jesus, through his love, gives to us the chance to repent, the chance to be cleansed, the chance to be set free and to go and to sin no more. How would you feel if you were that woman? All your accusers left. Jesus said, you go and you sin no more. Would you gladly go away and sin no more? I was reflecting about this for my own self. How many times have I struggled with sin? Same sin, same sin. I commit the sin, I feel terrible, I repent, and I say, Lord, forgive me. I never want to sin again. A few days go by, I sin again. Same sin. Are you like that? Struggling? The same sin comes back? There's one day, Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this. And it happened as I was watching the news. The news was about this. We can see on the screen. The haze that blanketed Singapore and many nations caused by forest fires. As I was watching the news, I got scared. You know why? Because the firefighters were trying so hard to put out the fire using hoses, spraying the ground. And finally, they would be successful in putting out the fire. But even after they put out the fire could start again on its own. And that is because they put out the fire at surface level, but deep within the earth, deep underground, the fires were still raging. As I watched the news, Holy Spirit said to me, this is how many people try to deal with sin. We sin, we feel bad, we repent, and we think we've put out the fire. But soon, to our great horror, the fire starts again. We sin again, because deep within, the fire is still burning, and we have not dealt with this deeper, deeper emotion of evil within us. And the Holy Spirit said to me, many people are scared to put out the fire. You know why? If there's a fire, he says we will take maybe a bucket of water and throw and hope that the fire goes out. Or we'll take a hose and we'll spray and we hope that the fire goes out. But these things can only quench surface level. They cannot put out the fire deep within. What we need is for the heavens to open and for rain to come down. Torrents and torrents and torrents of rain until the water drenches the whole earth and the water goes deep within and puts out the flames. Holy Spirit said, some people, you're willing to accept a little bit of the Holy Spirit, a little bit of water, but are you willing to accept so much of the Holy Spirit until it's like God opening up the heavens and drenching you with water, drenching you with the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid? Some people are very afraid because when the Holy Spirit drenches you and so fills you, it is like you are not in control of your life, but the Holy Spirit is in control of you. I ask you, do you want to deal with sin today? We can deal with sin in our own way. We can repent. We can try to change. But honestly, we will sin again. But if we want to do what Jesus says, go and sin no more, there's really only one way. And that's say, Lord, I need so much of the Holy Spirit. Would you just open up the heavens and pour out the Holy Spirit upon me and drench me, drench me, drench me until deep within the fires are no longer raging. Is this your desire today? Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes. Let's not look around, because this is not about who else has sinned. It's just about us and the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? About stealing? Any kind of stealing? Do you steal people's ideas? You steal people's ideas like they're your own to impress other people? This is stealing. Are we guilty of stealing? Are we guilty of not giving to God the full tithe? Are we guilty of adultery? You say, no, I've never touched a married person. But Jesus said, even in your heart, have you already committed it? And if you are guilty of sin, and today you want to change, not just to repent for now, but to have deep, deep working of the Holy Spirit in your life, will you just put up your hand wherever you are? You want the help of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Who else? Who else? Who else? There must be more of us. Surely there must be more. There must be more. I'm going to invite again. If you want full outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your life, to deal with the desires deep within you, to cleanse you completely, utterly, absolutely, you want Holy Spirit to do this in your life, will you also raise your hand? Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Just leave your hands up. We all close our eyes. Let us pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you see our hands. You see our hearts, Lord. Father, you see the evil within us, which we have repented of, and yet this evil keeps coming back again. Holy Spirit, you see it all. I ask, Lord, that even as we repent, even as we cry out to you for forgiveness, that you would forgive us not just for the now, but you would help us long term. Holy Spirit, would you come now and fill every one of us who's crying out for you? If you're crying out for the Lord, will you just put up your hands like this, like a cup, receive the spiritual rain of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabakarabasharabasha, Holy Spirit, just come. Pour out more. God Abakarabasharabasharabas, Darabacharabashara Sarabasharasan. Oh, Rabakarabasharasa, Arabasharabasa. Yes, Lord, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Rabakarabasharasa. And even as the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us, some of you already feeling Him. Already experiencing a fresh infilling of His love. Can you just raise your hands if you're feeling the Holy Spirit and you know that He's touching you. You know that He's touching you. Yes, yes, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I ask, Lord, that in the coming days, you will teach us to always abide in your presence, Lord. Delight in your presence. That we will seek you every day, fresh in filling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. Thank you that you are a God who forgives. You are a God who sends us out to go and sin no more. You are a God who makes us a people forgiven and blessed so that we can go and bless other people in your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.